So, Christmas Day 2023, here we are. And throughout the Christmas period, we've been thinking about this theme, Christmas number ones. Christmas number ones. The Christmas number one, that is the highest selling song at the Christmas period in the year, in the UK, has been announced. Does anybody know who won? Does anybody care? Who won? Wham! That's a blast from the past, isn't it? Yes, Wham! With Last Christmas, which was released in 1986, won the 2023 Christmas number one. Can you believe it? They'd come close, they'd been number one at different times of the year, but never Christmas number one before. So that was an excitement for some people. That Wham! Was Christmas number one in 2023. Sam Ryder from Eurovision fame came second, a close second. He'd been touring the country trying to get to number one, but didn't quite make it. But yes, Wham! Last Christmas. But when we think about number ones, when we think about it, the number one thing that matters on Christmas Day is celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So this morning we're going to go back 10 years earlier, to 1976, for a Christmas number one that celebrates the true meaning of Christmas, Mary's Boy Child by Boney M. Did you know that it actually scored two Christmas number ones, that song? Theirs was a cover version of the same song from 1956 by Harry Belafonte, but they jazzed it up, different tune, and added the Oh My Lord bit, which we'll listen to now. So let's have a listen to Boney M's Mary's Boy Child.
Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Great. Who's heard that song before? Don't think you could really have escaped it. It's played on the radio quite a bit at this time of the year, and it was lovely to have a Christmas song with the true meaning of Christmas in it, unlike so many others. Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Slightly much earlier than the 25th of December, but the fact is that a little over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was really born of Mary. That momentous event was the first Christmas because it was the coming of Jesus into the world. And he was the promised Christ, the Messiah, God's chosen King. And he had arrived. Galatians chapter 4 tells us, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born of Mary. And that's what we're celebrating this Christmas day. That God the Father sent God the Son into the world. This is the God who eternally existed, entering into the world that he created, entering time and space and becoming a man. God took the initiative. God sent his son. his one and only son, and he came into the earth in love. Now, I've wrapped up three different clues to help us think about the significance of God sending his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. It's always nice to have something to unwrap on Christmas Day, isn't it? Who would like to help me unwrap something? Yeah, hand went straight up. Do you want to come up? Yeah, maybe you could do the next one in a minute, yeah? That'd be great. So number one, there we are. Do you want to unwrap that for me? Thank you. Let's see what it is. It's a watch. That's my watch. Thank you. I was missing it. Brilliant. Thank you for helping me. What does a watch do? What does it help us to do? Helps us to tell the time. Brilliant. Do you want to go and sit down? Thank you very much. A watch helps us to tell the time. And that's what we're thinking about, that God's Son came to earth at just the right time. Snap, you got a watch for Christmas as well. God's Son came to earth at just the right time. We read, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son. Now, children, I know that throughout the year it can feel like a very long wait till Christmas, can't it? Can you believe that it's here today, Christmas Day? For the adults, sometimes Christmas comes around a bit too fast, if we're allowed to say that. But God's people have been waiting a very long time for that first Christmas, for the promised Saviour to come to earth. But the Bible tells us that that first Christmas was not a moment too soon or a moment too late. Don't know if anyone here enjoys going to concerts. Anyone enjoy concerts? Yeah? Now this analogy doesn't, I'm not sure about classical concerts because I've not been to one, so it probably doesn't quite work. But it works with rock concerts and pop concerts and things like that, so just bear with me. But I haven't been to a concert in a while, but I really do enjoy going to see live music. And one of my favourite moments at a concert is that moment when you've had the kind of supporting act, you've had the first band on, whoever was playing first, and it's time for the main event. And that wait can sometimes feel like it's gone on forever, waiting for the main artist to come on stage. But that moment's exciting, it's special. When the PA music stops, it goes dark in the room, but there's a spotlight on the stage as the band takes center stage to rapturous applause. That is a special moment if you've ever been to a concert. God had sent his prophets as his mouthpiece to speak his words to his people. God had made promises to his people that he would not leave them or forsake them, that he would be their God and they would be his people, that they would live in the promised land, that they would be a blessing to other nations. God had made these promises. And he was faithful to his people, even as we open up the Bible and we read about their unfaithfulness to God, that they kept wandering off, that they needed his rescuing time and time again because they went away from his loving rule over their lives. But God is a God of mercy and grace, and he kept providing for them. He provided rescue out of slavery in Egypt and out of difficult circumstances in the wilderness. And at other times, all those supporting characters had been, there was 400 years of silence at the end of the Old Testament, and then John the Baptist came. He made clear he wasn't the Messiah. He pointed the way, and then he got out of the way, because it was all about Jesus. The one who the world had been waiting for had entered center stage at just the right time. Wasn't in the way people expected. Born of a lowly woman, in a lowly manger with lowly shepherds attending, this was no Hollywood treatment for the darling of heaven. But it wasn't plan B either. God wasn't reacting to events that had already happened. This was planned in eternity past. And it was at the time set by God for the Son of God to enter into human history. As we remember Advent, as we remember the coming of the Lord Jesus, we also need to remember about his second coming. Jesus will return one day. Not a moment too soon, not a moment too late. And when he returns, he will return to judge the world, to put all things right. But we need to be ready for that. How can we get ready? Well, let's think about that by unwrapping the next item, the next present. I said you could come up. I've forgotten your name, sorry. Matilda is going to come and help me open item number 2. Can you see the one that has a number 2 on it? Do you want to unwrap that for me? Yeah. Thank you. Chocolate coins. Brilliant. Would you like to take them and then share that with your family? Yeah? That would be very good. Thank you. What do we use coins for? Anyone know? What do we use coins for? Yeah? To buy something. Yeah, thank you. Chocolate coins might not work at Tesco's. You could give it a try. We use coins to buy something. And at the heart of the Christmas story, it's pointing to something being bought. Let's have a look. God's Son came to earth at just the right time, and he came to redeem us. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Now, this word redeem or redemption is associated with the purchase of a slave's freedom. And that's what Paul is writing about here in Galatians. A slave could buy their freedom, or someone else could buy it for them, paying a redemption price to their owner. So when we think about Christmas, we need to remember that Jesus didn't merely come to inspire us, to set us an example, or even just to give us a story to act out at winter time in nativity plays and to sing carols about. Jesus came to rescue us from our chains. That might be quite shocking if you're hearing that for the first time. Jesus came to rescue us from chains. Now, these chains are not chains that we can easily see, but they are spiritual chains. Don't know if you've read the book or seen the film A Christmas Carol, very well known. Has anyone seen that? I'll happily admit to having seen The Muppets Christmas Carol first before the original. That's bad, isn't it? In both films, though slightly realistic in the Muppet version, Jacob Marley, the former business partner of Ebenezer Scrooge, appears to him as a ghost in chains, warning Scrooge of his greed, and that if he doesn't change his ways, he'll end up with even heavier chains. Anyone remember that from the story? The appearance of Jacob Marley. Well, we'll pause there, because actually you may not know that the story is based upon Roman Catholic theology of purgatory and this belief that we can do something ourselves to shake off the chains of our selfishness and achieve redemption for ourselves. But friends, that's not in the Bible. The Bible tells us that whether we realize it or not, we're all by nature chained up as slaves and unable to free ourselves. Verse 3 of Galatians 4 tells us we're in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of this world. Spiritual forces of darkness that seek to lead us away from God to live self-directed and self-focused lives. We can't see those chains, but we can see the consequences of them in the world all around us. Their power. We see greed in the world, don't we? We see jealousy, violence, hatred, bitterness, etc., etc. Fill in the blank. And the reality is, we have to understand the bad news to fully appreciate the wonderful news of Christmas. That we are all enslaved by our sin. The Bible calls our selfishness and living away from God sin. And we need something to be done about that. It's not much fun being chained up, is it? It's not much fun being enslaved by something. In Galatians, Paul emphasizes that we are saved by faith and not by works, not by the things we do. It's only God's saving work and us responding to that that saves us. That there is real freedom found in knowing Christ based on God's promises and God's grace. Paul talks a lot about the law in Galatians, and the law provides us with God's standard, how we should live, how God is perfectly holy. But that actually shows us how far we fall short, that we can't reach God's standard. None of us, not even one of us. So friends, Jesus didn't come then to just give us a better life and perhaps make us morally respectable, but he came to totally transform us. As a way in a manger puts it, he came to fit us for heaven, to live with thee there. So, how do we get ready for Christ's second coming? Because as we think about his first coming, we need to think that he's coming again. Well, we need to repent of our sins. That means change our mind, turn away from our sin, and turn to the Savior, the one who came that first Christmas, the only one who was able to completely rescue us from darkness and bring us into God's wonderful light. That's Jesus, the light of the world. He came to live that life that we could not live and to clothe us with his righteousness. He came to pay that price of redemption, to set the captives free from chains by his blood shed on the cross for us. That was the price. It wasn't some gold coins. It was his blood shed on the cross that was the price of our redemption, to buy us back so that we could be right with God. Jesus was born of a woman. He was truly Mary's boy child, as we've just heard in the song. He was fully human, but he was also fully God, eternally existing as the Son of God. And it was only because Jesus was fully God and fully man that he was able to take our place on the cross and fully redeem us. The sacrifice that he made meant that he could stand in our place and take the punishment that we deserved. The text talks about Jesus being born under the law. Well, Jesus was Jewish. He was born to a Jewish mother. And he was born under the law in the sense of the law of Moses. But also under the law in the sense that we're all born under God's law. And we've all failed to keep it. Yet Jesus succeeded. Imagine that. Never putting a foot wrong. As Jesus was born, he grew up, was tempted in every way, yet did not sin, the Bible tells us. And he did that for us. Isn't that amazing? Christ's redemption, his rescuing us, is for all people, Jew and Gentile, people of all backgrounds, whoever you are, whatever you've done. And we read why in the lyrics to that song by Boney M. Oh my Lord, you sent your Son to save us. Oh my Lord, your very self you gave us. Oh my Lord, that sin may not enslave us and love may reign once more. I love the music as well as the lyrics to that song because it's so upbeat, that kind of calypso tune. I love almost all the lyrics. There is an odd line about a halo, which we left out this morning. Lovely song. The love of Christ reigns in our hearts if we've been set free from slavery to sin and the spiritual forces of evil. The consequences of that slavery, that separation, meant that we were to be separated from God for eternity. And yet, God, by his grace, sent his Son to save us. No merit of our own. It is that we are redeemed. Wonder if you celebrate that with great joy this Christmas time, our redemption. It's a joy that you can't manufacture in a toy factory. It's a joy for every season and whatever the weather that God has given us. So let's unwrap the final item. Who would like to help me? Who hasn't helped yet? Ava, do you want to come forward? Did you want to help as well? Actually, there's a few, so a few of you might want to help. There's four little packages, so we need four people. Yeah, one, two, anyone else? Three, four. Okay. Let's see what's there. So you can start opening them, that's brilliant. Who's this?
Daddy Pig.
Daddy Pig. Okay. Right. There we are. Thank you. Mummy Pig. There we are. Daddy Pig's having a snooze. Thank you. Do you want to go and sit down? Who's this? Georgie Pig. And finally, Peppa Pig, the star of the show. Well done. Thank you very much. And what do they make? I thought someone was going to say bacon. A family, yeah. A family together. So, God sent his son so that we can be part of God's family. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And receive is the key word. It's a gift. Presents at Christmas are brilliant, aren't they? And we've seen some of the presents that have been received. We should enjoy gifts and direct our thankfulness to those who gave them, but ultimately to God, who's the giver of all good things. But what can be one of the dangers with presents under the Christmas tree? One of the dangers is that we just want something else next year, something different. And this is picked up on in the movie Toy Story, when the boy Andy discards his toys to go over after the newest craze. And the toy characters live with that insecurity of wondering whether they'll be next on the scrap heap. Because deep down, we all want something that will last, not just for a season, but forever. Jesus is coming into the world, and his redemption gives us a security of knowing that we're God's beloved children, of knowing that we've been adopted into the family of God, that our identity is now found in Christ, and we have the security of knowing our past forgiven and our future secure. God says to us in his word that if we've received his gift of redemption through his son, that we have been adopted into his family, that we are his children. And that gives us a great security of our past forgiven and our future secure. Growing up at Christmas time, my brother's here this morning actually, me and my brothers, we used to have a wooden advent calendar. I think it still exists in the family. And it was a nativity set. And we used to argue over who was going to put the first piece on. You know, that number one. Was it a star? Or what was it? A shepherd? Or something? Yeah. The first piece of the nativity. And being the eldest, I'm sure at some point I used my status as the eldest in an argument. You know, I'm the firstborn. I'm the eldest. I should go first. And then there's an argument that follows amongst me and my two brothers. Well, Mum made us take turns, as it were, in the end. So we had to take it in turns to be the first one to put it on. Well, there's no arguments in the heavenly family because we're all spiritually the firstborn in terms of receiving the full inheritance that can never spoil, fade, or perish. We're co-heirs of the kingdom. We've been blessed immeasurably in the heavenly places. That is something that we all need to remember and hold on to this Christmas time, that if we have put our trust in Christ, we are part of his secure family. And we receive all the blessings that should have been bestowed upon Jesus. And yet we receive them because of God's grace and his love. He is the only one who chose to stoop and sacrifice his life for us so that we might be lifted up to eternal life in heaven with God and be part of his family. So, as we finish, I wonder if you've put your trust in Christ. Perhaps today you need to be reminded of that great security we have because of Jesus' work in being adopted into the family of God. Are you celebrating Christmas Day with great joy because the Saviour has come? If you've not yet put your trust in Christ, then today is a day to consider it and think about all that it means. That he came to set us free from the slavery of our sin, to redeem us so that we can be restored to God and be part of his heavenly family forever. We have a Christianity Explored course coming up in the third week of January, starting. Do pick up one of these at the back table if you're interested in finding out more about that. It's an opportunity to learn about the Christian faith and to ask any questions that you might have. We'd love for you to get involved with that. But as we finish, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth at just the right time to redeem us so that we can be part of God's family. And our closing carol celebrates that truth. So let's stand together and sing Joy to the World.